This podcast is an 18 and up show. With that shit said, the views and opinions expressed on here are solely that of the individuals whose mouth it came out of. In no way does anyone mean any harm or true disrespect. We are here as regular ass Americans trying to make sense of all this chaos. Discussions on sex, drugs, music, spirituality, and unfortunately at times, politics, and all around whatever the fuck we want. Opinions are like assholes. Everyone's got one. Now sit back and soak in our verbalized bedlam.
Hello, everybody. How you doing? It's Saucy here. I'm here with my co-host, Kitty.
Hello, everybody.
How's everybody doing today? It's been a minute since we've been able to get back into the podcasting world. I started a second job, and
Christmas is coming, and the kids, and wife, and you know, everything.
Yeah.
So it's been a hot minute since we've been with everybody.
Yeah, but we're back for a minute. We're keep you on your toes, and this one was requested, so I hope my notes are good enough for everybody.
He did a lot of research for this.
Yeah, I had to maximize my screen on my laptop. It's the Introduction into Kink 101 for the vanilla person. So
yes, we are going to talk about kink and what kink is and
how to enter the lifestyle.
And there are so many
types
of kink. People think that kink is hanging from your toenails from a ceiling fan or something weird, but it can be something as simple as we've got this book here. It's called The Deviant's Pocket Guide to Outlandish Sexual Desires Barely Contained in Your Subconscious. And there are things in this book that I never thought that I would read about. People that are into push pins and people that are into wearing diapers, which I've heard of before. There's no kink shaming here. We're just talking. People that like wood, people that like inflatables, just touching the skin of
there
the inflatables.
Actually there's a castration fetish.
There's a castration fetish. All petticoats and animals.
Kink is a large spectrum.
So when someone says they're kinky, though, I don't think of the extreme stuff.
Yeah,
personally, like when someone says, if I know someone in the lifestyle, obviously I might ask them, you know, hey, what are you into?
Yeah,
and usually they will start telling me enough that I can tell whether they're what's called a top or a bottom, or a dominant or submissive type of person when it comes to their play. Yeah. And you can learn a lot about a person through their kinks, but you shouldn't ever judge a person by their kinks, because I've met some pretty amazing people that are into some pretty crazy shit, but you really have to kind of remember that we're all human and we all like what we like.
Different strokes for different folks.
Exactly. And consent is key. So if you can find somebody that's into the same kink that you are into and it's consensual between the two of you, as long as you're not hurting each other or nobody else.
Amen.
You know, enjoy what you enjoy. Now, it may not be my flavor of pudding, if you will, but anyway, sorry.
And we wanted to talk about different toys too. Like, you know, the typical, you know,
my favorite is the flogger.
That's my favorite too.
The riding crop, the hand.
Cane.
People think about handcuffs and blindfolds.
The cane.
And canes and whips and chains and nipple play, nipple clamps and things like that. And that can be a lot. I mean, that's into it's stimulation and it's BDSM, which I know you have the definitions and stuff for that later.
Yeah.
But we're going to get more into stuff like that.
Yeah. Okay, and also we wanted to talk about negotiating play and or submission. You know, how, you know, consent is key.
Absolutely.
I mean, consent and communication, two things you must have. And also the DS relationship.
Which is a dominant submissive relationship for those that don't know. Typically in most partnerships between two people, one of them is more dominant in the bedroom. Now, does that mean that that person has to tie you to the bed and flog you every night? No, that's not what that means. You can have someone be your dominant without it being something. Well, there's also like another that, if that's not layer your kink, of that,
which is complete power exchange.
It is a complete power exchange.
Yes.
When you practice BDSM, because you are, whoever is the bottom or the submissive is giving the power to the other person to inflict whatever pleasure or pain is between them and mm-hmm. has been consented upon.
Mm-hmm.
And negotiated, but you trust that that other person is going to stay within the limits and the boundaries that you've set forth, which is why communication is also key. Consent and communication is in any kink or in any relationship dynamic is
and
key.
If you want to keep your play partner, aftercare, reassurance, aftercare.
And so for those of you that don't know, aftercare can consist of anything from getting them a washcloth to clean off with, snuggling with them if that's your dynamic. Some people don't have a romantic dynamic within BDSM or within the kink world or lifestyle. And so if snuggling's not your thing, then okay. But aftercare could be getting them their favorite blanket or Band-Aids if they have any kind of abrasions from your play or... it's funny that you would say Band-Aids. I'm thinking aftercare for me is like, can you get me a towel so I can clean myself up? And then like, if I'm in like that kind of relationship with you, then I want to snuggle and, you know, like have you rub my hair and, you know, just like the softness after the play for me, is a big thing. But I mean, everybody has their thing. Some people want to be like left alone. Some people want to get a shower right away. I mean, aftercare for people, it's whatever you are going to physically and mentally need to connect with that person, but also to unwind from the play that you just had, which could go everything.
Every sub drop, but
everything you have, which is another something we can talk about. But aftercare is so important. Even if you don't, your partner doesn't do it for you, you should definitely do it something for yourself. Go to the restroom, wash your face, clean yourself up, you know,
take
a deep breath, you know, do whatever you need to.
Because those endorphins and adrenaline's pumping.
Absolutely. Especially, I mean, you can have something as light as just like kind of a rougher sex all the way to a full BDSM scene with that contain toys and commands and things like that. And so the aftercare is definitely going to depend on what level of intensity you have going on.
Okay. I'm going to read this little paragraph I prepared. Well, it's more copy and paste, but whatever. Kink is about exploring your fantasies in a safe, healthy manner through a various of methods. It is every participant's responsibility to decide consciously which act or fantasy they would like to experience, as well as what is off limits, whether these involve pain or pleasure, and to discuss them beforehand with a trusted partner.
Yes. Never do any kind of kink or play with someone that you don't trust. Now, casual sex is casual sex.
Stress that enough.
Kink is not something that...
And safe play. Safe play.
Kink is definitely not something that is easy to do with a casual sex kind of a situation.
Yeah. I'm more of a daddy dom and everything, and I am, other than sex, like, I haven't had time for play. Like,
to actually, like, pull your toys out and actually have a session.
It's been a minute, but I ordered my lady friend some from Happy for Christmas.
Ooh, look at you.
Oh, yeah.
Lucky lady.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, in case she listens to this before then, we won't say what it is, but off air.
Already knows. I already told her.
Oh, well, lucky girl. AdamandEve.com. This is not a paid advertisement.
No, but they sent me a coupon. So that's.
Well, hey, that's
so
awesome.
So for $60, I got like, I think 15 or 16 toys.
Are you kidding me? Okay, I'll have to check that out.
I think it's like, I get like 8 free plus a video, and I bought like 4 toys.
Nice. So. Okay. Anyway, sorry, everybody.
Sorry.
We got off track. But consent is key with a trusted partner.
Yes, kink.
Of any kind, whether you're into spanking, whether you're into bondage, whether you're into having multiple play partners is also a kink. Having sessions with multiple people at one time, partner swapping, watching the other partner is called being a cuck. And so we'll get into that later too. That's a different kink, but I mean, so whatever you're into, just make sure that when you're participating that you're doing it with a trusted partner, because that is, that is the most intensive thing that you can do, is not only you're sharing your mental, but you're sharing your body with somebody. So always make sure you trust them.
Now, everybody keeps hearing you say a scene, a scene, a scene, a scene, a scene. I mean, we know what a scene is, but...
We do, but they probably don't.
They probably don't. So I got the definition right here, okay? Scene usually refers to content, context, or a setting of play as a theater. For example, he did a scene with the dominatrix. Can also be overall BDSM scene.
For example, you have a dom, a dominant, and his submissive, let's just say for all intents and purposes, for aftercare and things, that they're in a romantic relationship as well, and they're in the dominant submissive. They might have a scene where they set it up that she's going to be posed at the end of the bed on the floor in a certain position. The toys will be laid out. The bed will be made. Mm-hmm. There are certain requirements of her. And then during their play, they have things that they talked about that they both wanted. You know, I want you to use the flogger on me, and I want you to have the dildo on me, and let's get the nipple clamps out. Does it have to be as extreme as that? No, but it's communicating, this is what we're going to go do, and setting all of that up in a way, and then having it followed through with the aftercare. And then at the end of a scene, it's, it doesn't have to be between romantic partners, but it is the end of all of that intensive play coming to an end.
And we also cannot forget to add in, while you're negotiating, you must negotiate a safe word.
Yes, safe words are very important. I use the stoplight system.
Yeah,
so so red, yellow, and green, which, I mean, green is not something you usually have to say. If I'm getting spanked or if something's happening, you can usually tell if I'm enjoying it. So green's not usually something. I use personally, just personally, I use yellow if things are getting a little intense for me. If the smacks are in the wrong spot, or if something stung extra hard with the flogger, or if the belt hit in the wrong spot, because, and no kink shaming. Spanking is my kink, in case anybody didn't know. But I like various forms of spanking. And if I'm, if it's getting to the point where I'm uncomfortable or I'm not enjoying the sensations, then I might call a yellow. And a yellow for me just means ease up. It doesn't mean stop, but a red means full stop. I've only had to red one time, and that was with a partner that I trusted more than I should have. And I learned my lesson from that. But I've only had to safe word one time, and it was only because we, he and I hadn't communicated properly, looking back on it. So thankfully I've never had to do that. I've had to yellow a few times because I got sore with a belt one time, and it got me in the wrong spot. But
I've only had the red one time, and it was with my ex-wife. And I just bought the crop, and I was, you know, feeling it and everything, and just going at it, and stupid. I looked up at it, I'm like, yeah, maybe she liked to get a spanking, and no. Stupid idea.
Sorry.
It's okay. It ended the sex right then and there.
Well, a red is a full stop. And usually in a typical BDSM type scene or any kind of play like that, if someone calls a red, whichever partner it is can call the red. Usually it's the submissive that calls stop. But there are times when dominance might feel like a scene isn't going right, or something needs to be switched up, and they might call us. They might
or
call
their
us
health
stop.
Might be a,
right, or something is not right.
I've been had some play where, like, after a minute I got dizzy.
Needed to stop. Right. And so you can call a stop too. Anybody can call a stop.
Because of the adrenaline and, you know, the endorphins. And
right.
Everything's tingling.
So with communication, with BDSM especially, it seems to kind of be what we're talking about more with the kind of play that we're talking about.
What types of play are there?
Oh my gosh, there's a million types
of play. So many, but what's the greatest hits, you think? Impact.
Impact, which is mainly spanking with various objects. So impact play, sensation play.
Sensation play.
Where you sensation play can include ice cubes, wax, the little spinny roller things with the spikes on them.
I got pinwheels.
Do you?
Yeah.
The little sensations.
I got one.
Now they have those electrode things. What are those called? My lady friend
has one of them too.
Right, those little electro wands. I had somebody do an electro wand on my arm one time, and he went up my arm, up through my shoulder, and came down onto my nipple. And I came so hard. I was standing at a party, and I came so hard that it was all over, like my pants, my leggings were soaked, and I ended up leaving the party early because my legs were getting chafed from my pants being so wet. So I swear, hand to God, that those.
That's awesome.
He just high-fived me, y'all. This is no lie. I ended up leaving the party like an hour and a half earlier than expected. And a friend of mine had given me a ride to this party. And he ran that electrode thing down my arm and the shiver sensation. And as soon as he hit my nipple, man, it was like, woo, done. I was like, I'm standing there and I'm going, what is happening? What is happening? It's like, no, for real. I was standing there at a bar with surrounded by friends, and I'm like, oh, cool. Put that little purple light thing on me. And he's like, zip, 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 zip. And it started zipping my skin, and I'm like, oh, this is happening. I'm standing right here in front of a room full of people I know, and I'm getting ready to fucking orgasm. Like, what is happening?
Hell yeah.
And it did. So anyway. Yeah. So anyway, impact play, sensation play. There's ropes. There's
consent, non-consent.
Consent and non-consent, which is a big thing that we can talk about. That's a whole episode.
That's a whole episode.
And that's called a CNC. And that's, we're not going to get into that right now. But there's so many different
kinds.
There's furries. There's babies.
Yeah.
There's people that.
Littles, middles.
There's littles and middles.
Daddies and.
Yeah.
Like, for real. I'll admit, slaves. I'm into the age play thing. I'll admit it. I'm a daddy. What do you expect?
You're a daddy dominant person. Uh-huh. Yes, you are. You prefer the girls to be not younger like that, but just, I don't know how to describe it.
I wouldn't.
Well, I know what you mean. It's just hard to describe.
Yeah. Well,
like when you say, like the littles, you mean like the women that want a stuffy and a blanket for part of their aftercare.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah.
And some coloring books.
I love the color.
And then maybe go out for ice cream afterwards. You know?
Hey, whatever floats your boat, dude.
That's what I know about.
I know a lot of girls like that. I know a lot of grown women. I'm almost 44 years old, and I know a lot of women my age that are into that. So, hey, that's awesome. Spanking is my kink.
Yeah. I want to do it. That's why I bought a paddle. That's one of the things that's coming from Adam and Eve.
Did you get a new paddle?
Yeah.
What kind of paddle did you get? Is it wood or is it one of those leather ones they had?
For real.
The only one they had?
Yeah.
I mean, is it like leather or like...
It was wooden and then I think covered in leather.
Like covered in leather?
Yeah,
oh, that'll smack. How big is it?
It's my... Good.
Okay, good, that's paddle. A good size.
Cost me freaking $22.
Well, I mean, you know, if it's quality and you can use it without it breaking.
Yeah, true.
So
okay. So you'll
have to show me that if you have it next time.
Hard limits, soft limits. Like, can we explain that to the people? You know, how hard limits are like hell no or no.
Oh, yeah. Everybody, whether they think it or not, has a line that they won't cross. Things that they will not do that are considered a hard limit. And it's always good in any kind of kink or in any kind of situation that you discuss what you're into and what they're like, into and what they're not into.
No blood, no piss, no shit.
Oh no, I completely agree with you. My hard limits are no ass to mouth. If it's been on my ass, it doesn't need to be on my mouth, and I'm good with that.
Mm-hmm.
That includes toys, and I'm not into pee or poop or any of that nastiness for me personally. You know, that kind of thing. So no showers or not golden showers, I mean.
Yeah.
But anyway, everybody has hard limits. Some people's might be, don't call me certain names or don't degrade me, or a lot. Some people's hard limits, you know, might be no smacking,
no
or
blindfolds.
No blindfolds, no choking. Mm-hmm. I mean, people are into a lot of things and people are not into a lot of things. And so,
and then soft limits are kind of like, maybe I'll do that.
Like, I could try that. Like, for the first time that I had nipple play, I had never had nipple play before with like a clamp. I mean, somebody sucking your nipples is one thing, but like to actually have like clamps or clips or like little, like, what is those things? They look like a D ring and then they've got like a little screw thing on them. You know what I'm talking about? They look like the letter D and they've got like a little screw thing or whatever. Before I'd ever experienced anything with those, it was just regular manual stimulation. You know what I mean? So, but talking about it at first was consensual because it was, I was like, yeah, I'm interested in that, but I'm nervous about it. So then the partner was someone that I trusted. He was my dominant for about 8 months and, I trusted him and we tried nipple play with actual like clamps and things like that. Mm-hmm. And, but it was something that was a soft limit because I wanted to try it, but I was hesitant. So we had a discussion again, communication is key. Mm-hmm. And so that became a green light after that because I enjoyed it. But you definitely want to talk through things like that because there might be something that your partner's into that you don't think they're going to be into, and they might be willing to try it at least once or try a soft version of it. So never be afraid to talk to your partner, though, about something that you want to try or maybe want to change. Are you reading? You're reading into some of the other one?
Yeah, I took these notes so long ago that, like, I got them all, like, not all of them, but, like, a good portion of them. I mean, for real. I'm amazed at myself.
This looks like a book report, y'all. I wish you could see it. He's got graphs and, like, all kinds of, like, craziness.
Okay.
Man, what were you smoking that day?
Whatever it is, I need to get more of it.
No shit. Guys, this is like, I wish you could see this. It's like a 20-page book report thing on kink and BDSM.
Yeah.
He's got enough stuff here for like 100 episodes. We just have to try to stay on track.
Yeah, okay. So, but we're going to have to wrap this segment up because we're running out of time here. I mean, we got about another 5 minutes, but we're going to have to wrap it up. But I wanted to get into like the actual, like we talked about impact play. Well, you know, did we talk about role playing?
Not really. We didn't really touch on role playing. Role playing could be something like a cosplay where you have your partner dress up in a certain, like a maid's outfit and make you dinner and like serve you.
Or 1950s housewife.
Or the housewife, like baking in just an apron, you know, or wearing some sexy lingerie to make dinner or. You know, role play could be your favorite cosplay too. You could dress up and go to events together and it could make you excited.
That's funny.
What's funny?
What's the Incredibles last name?
I don't remember.
I can't remember. It's like her or something like her. That's my dating profile. I said Bob Orr or looking for, what's her, Helen. From, you know, for his incredible.
You're so silly. That is a very specific niche of person. Did I say that right? Niche?
I don't know. I can't remember. Anyway.
He's so into his book report, y'all. Okay, let's talk about another one that's a big one. Okay. Is the foot fetish.
Yes,
foot because fetish. I have someone in my life that I know, and he is into feet.
You know what? This is really...
He thinks they're beautiful, especially my feet, which
bigger
is crazy
than
to
you
me.
Think.
No, it's
there's
huge.
A fucking website where you can sell pictures of your feet.
You can do that on Twitter. I see it every day. My friend, his Twitter has almost 10,000 followers on his Twitter. And he posts a picture every day. It's MILF Monday. It's Titty Toes Day. And it's awesome because it gets the foot models out there on Twitter involved. And they post pictures of their feet and their asses. But a lot of these women, they sell pictures. They do custom videos. They sell their pantyhose, their socks, their shoes. I mean, it's a big deal. it's a big deal. Like, these women get paid to take care of their feet and to provide a service. And I had never seen a community like that before until I met my friend. And he's really opened my eyes to the fact that, like, a really genuine, nice person can think your feet are sexy and want to suck on your toes or want to rub your feet. Doesn't make them any less of a man or a woman to want to do something like that, because that's just something that excites them. And if it's not hurting you, now, the first time you're that, you know, if you're not, if that's not your kink and your partner has that kink, it can take a little bit of getting used to. Because having someone that wants to rub my feet and play with my toes makes me self-conscious about my feet, you know, and like, I want to take better care of them and I want them to look pretty. And I have, I wear toe rings. You can't see them today because it's like 30 degrees here and I've got tennis shoes on, but I try to keep them well kept, you know? But I mean, to have somebody that like wants to play with your feet, at first it feels kind of silly. It did. But honestly, now it feels very like adoring. And then to see him get excited when he's rubbing my feet and like, he's like playing with my toes and stuff.
Nice.
To see how excited it makes him and to feel how intensely it makes the play afterwards. It makes it one of those like, you know, good things
I never really thought
that. Now, do I sell pictures of my feet online? No, I don't. But the community is massive.
I know, because there's a girl websites that I go to a couple munches with this past like couple months ago,
which is a meet and greet for lifestyle people. For people that don't know, a munch is like a get together at a bar or like a pool hall or something, or somebody's house, and people get together and you have appetizers and drinks and you stand around and you socialize and
all
you
set up through FetLife.
Yes, can get them through FetLife. I get notified a lot of them through Facebook now because I haven't been on FetLife very much lately.
Yeah, but this girl, she told me she sells, that's how she pays her rent.
Yes.
She sells pictures of her feet.
Pictures of her feet and stockings, and they can just, but you know what? You can sell panties online too.
Hey, I wish guys could do that, but anyway. We're going to wrap this one up.
They can. I guarantee there's a kink for that.
Well, shit. I need to jump on that shit.
We're going to go through more of his book report and see what else we can come up with.
Yeah, now, for the next segment. All right. So you got anything you want to add at the end of the segment?
There's so much. We talked about that ball bounced so many different places today.
Yeah. But it's okay. It's all good.
No, it is all good. I'm just trying to think of something in particular. I know I can't think of anything right now.
Okay, well,
All right, this is Kitty out for now.
All right, saucy getting sauced. All right, we're back. How you doing?
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Kitty.
It's Saucy, and we're back with our Kink 101 segment part 2. All right, so
gonna open this one up with a bang.
Yeah, we are. Anal sex.
Another kink.
Yes. So this is a.
We're back on his book report.
this is sex in the butt. You know, I mean, nothing.
It can be with your partner's finger, with a toy, with their member. Anything. If they have one.
Stock up on the lube, though, for real. Just stock up on lube. But we're gonna keep this flowing because I want to talk about other stuff too, other than all these kinks. So, but I want to cover the kinks. So we're gonna keep going.
And of course, there's no way to get through all of them because there's so many of them.
But I want to get these are good ones. Points,
yes.
These are key cornerstones. Well, not necessarily cornerstones, but.
Do you enjoy anal sex, Saucy?
Yes, I do. Actually.
I do with the right partner. No, yeah. I've had partners that their size didn't work, or my size didn't work, or our sizes didn't work, or something didn't work, and it just didn't work, or it didn't feel good. And then I've had other partners where it felt fantastic. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's a partner by partner basis.
Yeah.
But do I enjoy it's it when it's good?
Sexual compatibility.
Of course. But I'm just saying, when it's good, it's good, and when it's not, it's just not. So.
And then lingerie.
lingerie fetish. Is a, now, you know, that's something that I've only gotten into in the last few years since I got divorced. My ex-husband was vanilla. And vanilla is another term for that, the people that don't know. It's people that aren't into anything kink related. It often are referred to as a vanilla. So if we say someone is vanilla or that's vanilla, that just means it's not something that's typically in. Sorry, I didn't mean to skip ahead. But it's okay. Lingerie was considered nothing that he enjoyed. When I joined the lifestyle a few years ago, I got into wearing lingerie and thigh highs and corsets and bra and panty sets and God things like love that. God I have love quite you. The collection. A lot of it's in my storage unit, but I do have a lot of quite a collection of lingerie, and people are very into lingerie. So
group sex. Also known as gangbangs or orgies and reverse gangbangs.
Reverse gangbangs.
Where it's just one or two dudes and there's like 10 girls. That's every man's dream.
I'm sure that's every man's dream.
That was my dream.
I've never seen anything like that. Not king shaming, of course. Never do that.
You know, I gotta have a bro to high five while I'm going out.
High five.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Okay.
I don't know if I could do a gangbang, but I've participated in group sex before by being multiple people in the situation, so.
I don't know. Part of me has always, like, wanted to participate in a gangbang, but, like, I know I probably shouldn't. It's like one of those, like, you know,
right, if you had the opportunity, would you really?
I've had the opportunity and I'd turned it down.
Right. Even though it's something.
Even though it's something like back in my mind, like, oh man, that's an itch I really would like to scratch. But like, then I'm like, no. Because it would be different if it was like if I knew the guys that are, you know, involved.
Right.
You know, because I knew that they're going to be clean and, you know, even if there's condoms. And
you can still pass STDs without condoms and STIs without condoms.
Yeah.
With condoms. So, condoms are not.
And also, usually like, the gangbang girl is, like, god awful ugly.
Oh, my goodness. Saucy.
Well, not necessarily true. I'm sorry. I don't mean to say that. Anyway, skipping along to sensational play.
We kind of talked about sensation play a little bit earlier. We were talking about BDSM, and there's all kinds of wax and ice and heat, hot and cold and touches and things like that. So that's a big one, too.
And then my next one is a big one, orgasm control. A lot of women like this. They want the dominant to control, tell them when they cannot come. They want to ask permission. Yeah, that's from my experience.
It's actually a kink that I enjoy. So having to ask permission to, and then being told no, and you have to hold it, and it builds and builds and builds, and then you're finally able to release.
And then you would just explode.
It's a different level of intensity. Mm-hmm. But again, I've only had that once before, and it was with a very trusted partner. So
okay, and next,
that's a big kink though. A lot of people have that.
Yeah, bondage, which is being tied up or in a bind, or suspension. You know, there's a lot of people that are into this. Rope bunnies.
Ropes, yeah. I've never done ropes.
I'm working on it, but as you see, I got the book over there.
I do see that. You'll get to it eventually. It can be being strapped down to the bed. It can be, bondage can be being restrained with a sash. Mm-hmm. It can be your hands are tied with handcuffs. It can be something as light as a pillowcase or using your underwear to tie your hands together.
You know I used to use?
Something that's restraining some part of your body is
my
bondage.
Dad was a lawyer, and he wore a tie every single day of his life. When he passed away, I got about 1,000 freaking ties.
Ties work really well. They don't cut off the circulation.
No, they don't.
But they're still silky enough usually that they don't
and they
hurt
feel
the
nice.
Hands.
Some of them was like thrift store fucking ties. My dad, he was a connoisseur on that shit, though, for real.
But bondage includes so many things. Mm-hmm. And if you're into bondage is something that's a whole other episode by itself.
Yeah. Psychological play. Now, this is real big because, like, I've noticed because whenever I was younger, I would say, and I sought out a mistress before, you know, when I was first getting in the community and everything, and I read that, you know, you first got to be a good submissive in order to be a good dom. And, like, for a minute, like, I felt like that woman owned my brain, like, the way that we were talking and everything. Like, seriously, like, yeah. And then I had to cut it off, and I was like, no.
But you did that first.
Yeah.
And do you feel like that makes you a better dominant?
Yes.
Because you understand the submissive mind. Mm-hmm. See?
Mm-hmm.
So she taught you something very good.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Yep.
But psychological play can be something from telling you what to wear, mm-hmm. requesting that you send a picture. My old dominant used to have me send a picture of the panties that I was wearing every single day.
I used to have
whether they were on me or not, I had
to
send
a picture
them.
Of what you wore every day.
Right.
Yeah.
But honestly, as a submissive person, I'm a submissive, and it is having a task gives you something to do, and it gives you something to do that pleases them, and pleasing them pleases you.
Well, and I also had them email me every single day. I had them journal and email me every day. Their journal.
Yeah.
And I checked it every fucking day.
That's awesome.
Every fucking day.
That's awesome. See? And that's a dynamic. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's definitely the psychological play there. But, so you have the dominant perspective of that. Mm-hmm. And I have the submissive. You also have the submissive's perspective, mm-hmm. which is good to know. But it's just having that task of doing whatever. And it doesn't have to be something sexual. It can be writing down what you eat for the day. It can be messaging each other on lunch. It can be, it can be something as you're going to be wearing this or you're going to be doing this if that's your dynamic. It can be anything, but psychological play, everybody naturally does that. Mm-hmm. Just think of it as kind of turned up a notch.
Yeah. Voyeurism and
exhibitionism.
Thank you.
Okay. So watching and being watched is a big one. You're hilarious, Saucy. He can't talk today and he's not even talking about that one at all. No. Are you a voyeur? Do you like to watch or be watched?
I'm a voyeur.
I like to watch,
but I'm not to an extent of the next kink, which is cuckolding. Whatever. I don't like that.
Cuckolding is watching, where you're watching your partner be pleased by someone else.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine you've seen it in movies where the man sits in the corner
mm-hmm.
and the woman is on the bed with a different man.
Mm-hmm.
And typically that's what you find. Now, it is becoming more common in the lifestyle
mm-hmm.
to have women, which are called a cuckoldress.
Or a hot wife.
A hot wife is mm-hmm. also another kink slang for that is a cuck.
Mm-hmm.
Triss, right?
Yep, I think so.
A cucktress? But that's sitting in the corner and watching your partner please another partner or with another partner. Now, you may join in with them at some point, but sometimes you don't. But I prefer to watch rather than be watched.
Yeah.
Because I just, you know, nerves and anxiety and stuff like that. And I've never watched my partner with another partner directly. Now, I've been in a situation before where I was in bed with my partner and there was someone, another couple in bed with us.
Yeah.
And we may or may not have swapped for whatever a little while or played together for a little while. That's good times. So it was not directly watching my partner, but I have been in that kind of a situation before. Would you consider that to be a cuck or do you think it's more if you're not involved?
I think it's more if you're not involved.
Okay. Well, good. Then I'm not a cucktress.
Exotic humiliation.
Erotic humiliation.
Thank you.
Okay. Saucy can't talk tonight, y'all.
I don't have my glasses.
Where are your glasses?
At the store.
Oh, my gosh. Good place for them. Okay. Spectrophilia is what?
It is the turn on by ghosts.
Ghosts.
And then human spirits and
okay, not for me, but hey,
undead.
Not shaming at all, you go you.
Yeah.
Is that like the same thing as when people like to hang out in the cemetery and it turns them on? Is that
pretty much the same thing? Same thing, kind
of. We touched on that one already. Let's see. We're trying to get through as many of these without too much personal experience.
Audio nepophilia? Did I pronounce that right?
Autonepophilia. Yeah, good job.
It means adult babies. These harmless beings like to wear crunchy diapers.
Crunchy?
Crunchy.
And
often have a mommy or nurturing dominant figure take care of them. It's okay if it's not your thing. But as a kinkster, they say, go yuck you someone else.
You can't even reach. I'm sorry, y'all. I can't with Saucy right now.
Well, I said a lot of this was copy and paste for real.
Okay, so anyway, so that's people that wear that are adults that wear diapers and they're fed like a baby, and that is a kink that is out there. I've never met any. Have you ever met anyone that was into that? I personally have not.
Yes.
Have you really?
Yes.
Okay. Hey,
right on. Yes. Since I'm a daddy on FetLife, I've been contacted by quite a few of them, actually, over the years.
Really?
Like about, I'd say about 5 every 6 months.
Really?
So almost once a month. I get one of them, you know, just random. And I talk to them for, you know, I'll talk to anybody.
I know, because you're nice.
I'll talk to anybody. As long as you're nice to me, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, I just don't have time for all that.
Well, now I don't, but... All right, Urophilia, it's the fancy name for piss play, golden showers, or water sports.
All right.
Fuck no.
No, thank you.
No, thank you.
Not kink shaming, but no thank you.
Not kink shaming at all, but no thank you. I do not want to pee on someone, nor do I want someone peeing on me.
I am with you on that. No thank you.
But did you know, what was that brass against... That cover band that with the horns that did all the Tool songs and everything. Right. Did you hear about the lead singer?
No, is he into that?
She peed on some dude's head at a concert. Like
my God.
Yeah. She got him on concert, fucking laid him down. She pulled down her pants and her thong, pissed on his face, got up fucking and pulled her shit back up and finished the song. And the dude's loving it.
Oh my God, no way.
He's like, oh damn.
You lost your microphone.
Oh, I lost the microphone. Damn. Uh-oh. Man down.
Uh-oh.
Where is it?
It's all the way over by the plug. All right, y'all. Damn.
Keep him company. Well, I got to search for the down.
He's climbing under the everything, y'all, trying to get his microphone. So we're going to take a break for,
No, I got it. We're good. We're good.
Can I make the fun sounds?
Sure. I'm good. I'm back.
He smacked that shit right off his shirt, y'all. I was so excited.
It's all good. It's all good.
You're hilarious. You're hilarious.
All right.
Are we all set?
All right. Next, after pee play.
After pee play, which is a no thank you.
Yeah, no thank you. Sadomasochism.
That's huge.
That's a whole book. Wax play.
So we're not going to talk about S&M right now.
Yeah.
S&M is its own category. That's entire podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. Wax play.
I've never done wax play.
I actually like it, and I have some low temperature candles somewhere around here. And there's only been like 3 or 4 people that I've actually like that are actually into that. That I've been with.
Right. It's hard to find. Wax takes a lot of trust. Somebody's catching something on fire and dripping it onto you. Mm-hmm. I personally have never experienced wax play, so I don't know what to.
Well, with the low temperature ones, it's not even that hot, really. But like people are like,
I just can't imagine. Right, you're dripping hot wax on my skin. Right?
Yeah, it's supposed to feel good. Psychology. It's all up here.
Yeah, no thanks. Well, up here says no thanks.
Yeah.
Not for me. Vorophilia. What is that? I've never heard of vorophilia before.
Is the infamous cannibal kink. Oh, means that you get turned on by fantasies of eating someone. And the subject has been made headlines this year due to the sexual assault allegations against Armie Hammer.
What the hell?
He's an actor.
I know who Armie Hammer is, but wow.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what to say.
I forgot about that. Oh my gosh.
All right. So, vorophilia is when people are cannibals and want to actually eat you.
Yeah.
I don't know any of those.
Pregnancy.
Oh, pregnancy is a big thing. Hold on. Even on Twitter, pregnancy is huge.
I love the pregnancy
guys
fetish.
Are turned on by pregnant women.
Me
is it
too.
What is it about it? Is
lactation.
It the boobs, the big boobs?
It's the big boobs.
What
and
about
the
big belly? I mean, what's
I like
sexy,
the belly.
But what's sexy about the belly? Do you like bellies on your girls anyway?
I do.
Okay.
Well, it depends. I do, but it's like, I don't know. I mean, I think it's the shape and of the belly too, like for me, you know.
Okay, I mean, I think pregnant women are beautiful, but
I do
not,
too.
I'm not like, ooh, that's hot. Give me some of that. That's just me personally being a bisexual woman.
I am. Damn right.
So are you? So you're turned on by pregnant women?
Yes.
Then? So you have the pregnancy kink.
Uh huh.
All right.
Yes, I do.
All right. Like I said, they're beautiful.
But
they
you know, I will probably. I never have another kid. Like, the one downstairs is it.
No, absolutely. But you never know if you could be with someone that could be pregnant.
Yeah, that's true.
You never know what that kind of situation, especially
true.
Being a polymale. So.
Yeah. Well, I always said that, I mean, unless I adopt my partner's kids, like, I'm probably going to be done having kids. So.
Right. We're young no mo.
I know, and now I'm just starting to live my dream now with, you know,
absolutely.
Everything going on. Okay, tentacles.
Tentacles, really?
This is actually...
You picked a weird one. I'm not trying to kink shame.
This is
tentacles?
Actually... Well, it's true because, like, it's a Japanese... Like
really, you know what? I've been seeing toys, like sex toys and stuff lately. I was at a house party a couple of months back, and I saw this girl use this freaking. It looked like a tentacle.
Oh, bad dragon.
Is that what it's called? It's some kind of like a. It was like the suctiony dildo, but
it looks like a tongue of a dog or something, or a dick of a dog.
No, it looked like a tentacle.
It looked
like a tentacle. It had little suctiony cup looking things on one side.
Yeah.
It looked like a tentacle, and she was just going to town on it and said it felt incredible. And I'm just, I was like, okay. I've seen them online, and then
I'll
I saw it
you.
In person. No, I've seen them. That's just, I guess, I don't understand that.
Yeah.
But.
Okay.
Whatever makes somebody feel good. It looks like we're running low on time.
Age play.
We talked about that a little
bit. Yes, we talked about that. Stranger play, we talked about that. And that's the consent, non-consent.
Well, yeah, we didn't talk about consent, non-consent, but that's another thing altogether. Stranger play is ever hooked up with a stranger, like when you go into a bar and you have never met anybody and then you go home with them. I've never done that. Have you ever met somebody, I guess, met somebody like out somewhere and then gone home with them?
I have.
Have you?
Mm-hmm.
Really? Awesome. Mm-hmm. I've met somebody and had like a premeditated like date and like gone home with them before.
Yeah.
But I've never been like out and met somebody while I was out. Like I've intentionally been out with that person is what I mean.
One thing that was kind of nice, like when I met this one woman, we went on a date and we hit it off so fucking well that the very next time we... saw each other, she came over to my house, showed up with two bags of sex toys.
Oh, nice. She was ready to rock.
And, yeah. And
Saucy
this woman...
Saucy.
Yeah, she was my submissive for about a year. And I missed the hell out of her. But her husband had issues with me, and it's alright. I didn't want no drama, you know. So.
Right, you don't need that. And at least you got to enjoy the time that you had.
Yeah. She's my little nerdy princess.
That sounds like a hot stranger play turned into something nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Okay.
Emetophilia.
It's the sexual fetish in which one gets aroused by vomit. Hell fucking no.
No. Okay, no. Okay. That's a hard limit. All right.
Yes. Next.
Next. Moving on. Kismophilia. This is actually something. Kismophilia.
From enemas.
Arousal from enemas. I've heard that because, you know, you have the A spot. You have your G spot in the vagina.
Yeah.
But in your ass, you have the A spot. Both men and women do. Mm. And that's when you can, I've had it happen a few times where I've come from anal sex. Mm-hmm. And it's because you hit that A spot and the orgasms are pretty intense. But so I could see why enemas would do that. I personally would never do that. But.
Yeah. Electrostimulus.
Oh, we talked about that when I came in my pants at the party.
That's it on that. That's all I got for that. Yay!
There's way more kinks, and there's way more to talk about. This was just us trying to touch base on a few things.
This is
101. We don't know a lot about some of them, but we're just going through them like bare bones for now.
Yes, this is kink 101.
And we've got a lot more information coming.
And by the way, consent, communication. And then aftercare.
Yes. Just play safely with your partners and communicate what you need. And
okay. So we got about 8 minutes left. Do you want to maybe do some fun? Let's do something fun.
What do you want to do?
It's fun. Here, let's read something out of the book.
He's going to read something out of the book, y'all.
The fetish book. Fornophilia.
What is fornophilia?
Also known as human furniture. And, you know, I've seen some doms, have their submissives, sitting as furniture before. Have you ever seen that shit?
I've seen that where they have them sit as an end table. I've only seen it in videos. I've never seen it personally.
I've seen it in person, not in St. Louis.
I've seen pet play before where someone was on a leash and they were crawling next to their master, but I've never seen that in St. Louis.
I haven't seen that. I saw this in New York. And that was in public, too, in New York, too, at a cafe.
In public?
In public.
Ooh, get it.
Oh, man.
All right, I've got some kinky questions. You want to answer a few kinky questions? We've got about just a few minutes.
Yeah, we got about 5 minutes.
What is your dirtiest sexual fantasy? Wow. I know what mine is.
Threesome with Megan Fox and Christina Hendricks.
Oh, very nice. Mine would be a CNC, which a lot of people don't know what that is, but we'll get into that, with Chris Evans and, Bradley Cooper.
There you go. All right. Okay.
Which basically is just a rough sex threesome, is basically what I just said.
Yeah.
Yes, that would be two men and me would be...
That's incredible. Captain America and Racket the raccoon from Guardians of the Galaxy.
He was, yes.
Yes, he was.
Yes, he was. I watched him today in the movie The Star Is Born. A Star Is Born. Him and Lady Gaga were in that. It was really good.
That soundtrack's actually pretty good.
Yeah, it is really good.
All right, next.
All right, where's the weirdest place you've ever had sex?
I think we touched on this one.
We did. Mine was in the back of a police car.
I had it on a slide at a playground. Or the backseat of my Dodge Shadow.
I did it in high school in the backseat of a Dodge Shadow.
Well, we were parked over in this, because the airport bought out all those neighborhoods for the expansion.
Oh, for the the commuter lots and stuff? Yeah.
Well, no, for the runway.
They
annexed to build the new runway. And, we were back in the old neighborhoods and everything where they tore down all the houses. But, we're just back there, and there was nothing but trees. We used to go back there and party all the time. Fucking, and just chill. And then one time, me and my girlfriend, we were back there. We were having sex in the back of the truck, in the back of the Dodge Shadow. And the cops roll up, and they're like, "Oh, is everything okay?" And we're putting on back our clothes, and he's like, "Yeah, we're fine. Yeah." And he turns right around, and goes away. He's like, "Oh, kids, little white kids, getting them some ass."
That's awesome. You know. That's awesome. I got busted in a commuter parking lot doing that once. All right.
I think we got time for one more.
All right. Let's see. Do you watch porn? What is your number one search? Mine is anal threesome. Don't judge me.
Chubby anal or chubby anal teen, chubby anal MILF. Chubby BBW anal, Asian.
Nice.
You know, what do you think? What's another one? Huge breast assists.
I'll look up BBC and BBWs because that's always hot to have a BBC, which is a big black cock, and then a BBW together.
No, I'm good.
Hey, those are mine. That's mine, not yours. You can have all your chubby anal Asian.
Hell yeah.
All right, y'all. We got to wrap this up. So this is Kitty, and we will be back with more Kink 101 on Verbalized Bedlam.
All right. Saucy out. And
Verbalized. Kitty out.
Bye-bye.
Hey, Saucy here from Verbalized Bedlam. I wanted to give everybody the National Domestic Violence Hotline number. And it is to call. It is 1-800-799-SAFE or 7233. If you need you're definitely need the typewriter and everything, it's 1-800-787-3224. Or you can text the word SMART to 88788. So if you know anybody that needs that, or if you yourself needs to help with domestic violence, it's pretty much anonymous. You just call the number and they give you resources and tell you what you need to do to get out of your situation. And then I also want to give you the suicide prevention hotline. Now, they've really updated this hotline over the years. It used to be just a phone number and everything, but now they've gotten all technical on it. So you can just dial on your cell phone 988. Just dial 988. And someone will talk to you and help you through whatever it is you need help with, and because that's their job. They can also be reached at suicidepreventionlifeline.org. I want to give these numbers out as much as I possibly can on this podcast because we are definitely going to help some people out there. And I want to make sure that we do something positive here on Verbalized Bedlam. And it's going to be fun, but we have to do a positive. We got to be the Boy Scout. We're going to go the Boy Scout route. You know, we're going to leave things better than what they were when we got there. So therefore, that being said, I'm going to leave it on that note. Tune in to Verbalized Bedlam with Big Saucy and Nips.